If you're going to see the blessings of God in your life, you must follow the pattern outlined in the Word of God by the ultimate overcomer, Jesus Christ. The victory, the Bible says, goes to the believer who will pass the test that they are confronting.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the Word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part three from Pastor Rogers' Real Power series, The Power of the Overcomer. Let's continue on in the message today with Pastor Rogers.
And whenever I preach this, believe me, there's not a lot of preaching about the cross from pulpits today because we feel like we've graduated beyond that once we get saved. But I want you to know, you never leave the cross. It is the power of God unto salvation. And if I'm dealing with the devil before I got saved through my sinful activity and I choose to come to the cross and I receive Jesus Christ, the overcomer now lives on the inside of me. But I don't defeat the devil after salvation with anything less than the cross. I must be transparent with you today. I went to a public forum thinking one time that I would stand before the school board and be able to negotiate and reason with them over a book that was replete with pornography and profanity in it that my son was reading in the eighth grade. And I thought that day I would stand before them and surely reasonable minds would say, well, this should not be offered up to the eighth grade class. But that was not so. As I stood there in my innocence thinking that I alone could stand there and reason with this group of people, the school board, superintendent, and so forth, in the door comes the librarian and teachers beyond pushing books and calling me a book burner and someone who wanted to be able to censor all of the books from the children. I want you to know, if you want to read a book, that's your mindset, but that was still my boy. He's still my son today, and he can choose to be able to read what he wants to, but at that time, I'm responsible for him. And I found out that day, you know what? You can't go into a fight like that by yourself. I said, if I ever get in front of a body like that again, I'll empty my church with everybody in it, and we'll stand there in force, because ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time when you've got to rise up from your sitting position and say, I will not be overcome, I will be an overcomer. Being an overcomer is not some passive thing. The power of sin and the power of Satan is doing everything it can to attack the family today and to take you away from the cross. Most see the cross today as just a place of suffering and a sacrifice for a place of forgiveness and unconditional love. And I totally agree with that. It is absolutely that. It is the ultimate demonstration of God's love by his only begotten son hanging on that cross. But it is also the place of the greatest battleground that has ever been waged. Calvary is the culmination of all that Satan's hatred was against Jesus Christ. He tried to kill him 11 times before that in assassination attempts, just like he'll try to kill you, just like he tries to kill babies inside of the womb. Then he tried to tempt him in the wilderness to try to stray away from the Father's plan. If you will just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this and you can just have it all. And let me tell you, because of Adam's sin, he abdicated his authority and Satan had the power to be able to give it. But in those three temptations, the same ones that are aimed at every one of us every day, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, Jesus overcame every one of them. And he knows, listen, Satan knows just where to hit you. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and along comes Satan at that most opportune time. Listen, the devil is an opportunist. According to the book of Luke chapter 4, I believe down around verse number 13, the Bible said, then Satan left him, and one of the translations says, and looking for a more opportune time. I want you to know the devil is lurking in this church, around this church, at your house, in your car, anywhere he can slither in to try to convince you, try to persuade you, try to tempt you away. He knows exactly where to hit you. If you're not tempted with smoking a little pot, then he'll show you a glass of alcohol. If alcohol's not your thing, he'll show you something on television or the internet. Y'all not talking to me. If that's not your thing, he'll give you an opportunity to lie about your taxes. Come on, somebody. About what you're doing, about what's going on. He'll give you opportunity. He's an opportunist. He's giving you that opportunity for you to be able to fail and to fall and to push the button of your weakness. But while Jesus was on this earth, the Bible said he didn't sin. And what you need to know is, in our behalf, Jesus kept on going towards the cross and set his face like a flint. I want you to know sometimes, I feel my preacher coming in the room. Sometimes it's as if when we look at the story of Jesus, it was as if he wasn't going to make it to the cross. Sometimes even his disciples and closest friends left him all by himself. Some people will try to talk you out of going back to the cross day by day. And like today, even on national television, they'll mock the conversation with Jesus and mock the cross and say it's irrelevant. We don't need to talk about it. People try today, even pastors will try to attempt to somehow give you another route other than going to the cross in order to get to heaven. But Jesus made it plain. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you go to heaven, you're going the same way that everybody else that was born again is going. That's through the cross, by the cross, through faith alone, by grace alone, are you saved? And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I've got a place where I can have absolute victory regardless of whatever I may be struggling with. There is one place that Satan knows exactly that he was defeated, and it is at the cross. That's why he pounds and pushes against the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, because he wants to offer some other way. Is there some other way other than my flesh, my sin being confronted at the cross? That flesh will scream every time it's confronted. In fact, some of you right now, without opening your mouth, are screaming right now in this house. Because it is saying to you, you can't do this, you can do this, but you can't do that and still go to heaven. I love how you shout me down. That's why Satan's attack is always against Christ and the cross. Stood down there at the Bayview cross down in Pensacola. I thought it was the most hilarious thing that God has probably ever done, especially for us. Here we are down there, and it's a group of atheists. Come on now. Group of atheists get up, and they want to tear the cross down. I'm saying, what is that? That cross has been up for years. Why do you want to tear that down? What about a sign somewhere? What about a pole somewhere? What about something else? Can you not get involved? Why? Because that cross has an offense to it, to the world who don't want that thing. Come on, somebody. They don't even want you to put it up on the side of the road to mark a place where somebody was killed, because that cross says something powerful to the individual who don't know Jesus. And so here's that cross. We go down there and have a rally. And all of a sudden it's all riled up. And I met the mayor a few months ago. I said, Mayor Pace Assembly, I know we're across the river over here, but we're standing with you. You keep on standing against it. He said, we're going all the way. I said, that's great. We're all the way with you. And then what do you know? God shows up with an endangered tortoise and lets him dig up underneath the Bayview cross. I know some of you think that that's just a fate, but I came to tell you God speaks tortoise. Y'all ain't hear what I said. God speaks elephant, and he'll speak cockroach and snake and lion and everything else. How do they get in that ark anyway? They got in because it was the only place of safety. I came to tell you the cross is the ark, and I'm glad that he called my name. Come on, somebody. I saw that newspaper and that tortoise digging up underneath that cross. I said, stay wherever you want to stay. I'm suddenly an environmentalist. Love the tortoises. Kiss a tortoise. Come on, somebody. I just laughed. I really laughed out loud when I saw that. I did. I was all by myself. I read it. I just, ha ha. I don't think anything could be even any funnier. Why? Because God says, relax. I got this. If you'll just keep living right, God's telling everybody in this building and everybody watching, just relax. I know that North Korea's doing that. I know Russia's doing that. I know what's going on in Israel, but chill out. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Chill out, my dear friend. God has got an answer because God will never be defeated. What's that all about, Pastor? It's all about right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Write this down. This is the one place that Satan knows he's always been defeated. This is the reason why you can't take the devil to church and get victory. If I can just get to church, I'm going to get my... No. The devil don't recognize your pews and singing and all that. That don't impress him. Well, if I could just get in my prayer group. No. If I could just speak in tongue. No. None of that right there. Only place that the devil recognizes authority is at the cross of Jesus Christ. If I'm going to drag my problem somewhere, I've got to drag it there because we're living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, where you can't play around and negotiate with the devil. You're either on one side or the other. You're either an overcomer or you're being overcome. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 gives us some serious insight. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch this. In whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath already blinded the minds, not their eyes, their mind, their understanding, their knowledge. He's blinded their minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel, that's the cross, the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, he verifies now, I'm not talking about Buddha, Krishna, or anybody else, I'm talking about the image of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Jesus Christ, should shine unto them. What is the devil's attempt? It is to obscure or blind the minds of individuals toward the benefits that you have because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, the mindset is, I've been to the cross, now what? I bet you won't say that about your marriage. I've been married, now what? Ask your wife, now what? I guarantee she's got a word for you right there. There ain't no now what. I am now and what? Come on, somebody. Today, the cross is not preached because it looks like it's irrelevant. Somehow we can counsel ourselves in, or somehow we can have some relationships, and I'm all about all of that, but you better hear me. The only reason why you're sitting in this building today, fellowshipping, praying with, holding up people in prayer, is because of our common bond of the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? That's what the church is all about. We would not have collected ourselves together like this. We would not have said, let's just go over there to that big building and sit in some green pews and listen to somebody holler and spit on us, and we just negotiate and talk with people that we don't even know. No, you want to know what makes us one? It's because you got Jesus and I got Jesus. Come on, somebody. And I'm not looking at your skin color or your background or your social status. We're together as one because the cross brings the unity. It is the benefits of the cross that makes us one.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.